Hi, Marty. Lurie here as we get ready for Giants baseball, joined by our philosopher, Tony Watson. And, boy, another beautiful day at the park. We got Giants baseball coming up, and we're heading into June. Come on, 2 months are down already. How do you feel?
I'm good, Marty. I feel good. Like you said, we're heading into June. The horses come out in June, so summer's starting to turn. It's Memorial Day weekend, so it's finally starting to feel like summer and feel like baseball season, and everybody's coming out to the park, so it should be a lot of fun going into the summer.
Giants are playing better the month of May. Again, more comebacks, a couple of heartbreaking losses again. You were part of one on Thursday, but that's baseball. That's the nature of the game. But let's talk about the team a little bit, what you're seeing in the month of May.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like you said, we've had some good wins. We won a big series in Arizona. Thought we played great there. Pablo was fantastic with the big hits off the bench. And the pitching's come around. Guys are slotting into their roles. The starting pitching, we brought up Sean Anderson and Andrew Suarez, and both of them have been a nice little shot in the arm for us going deep in games. And it's nice for the fans to see. I mean, those guys are going to be around for a long time. And, they've got three quality pitches, throwing strikes, filling it up. And going deep, and then we've got some guys coming with offense, and we're mixing and matching, and Boach is pushing some of the right buttons, and guys are coming up with big hits and timely hits, and we see him, Tyler Austin pinch hit the righty pinch hitter. I mean, the righty pinch hitter is kind of dying off, but he's got it down, and he's popping those balls out of the yard, so that's good to see.
Boy, Williamson struck out five times on Thursday, which is very unusual, of course, in the history of the Giants. So they asked him, well, what do you think? He says, I'm going to talk to Riley and get advice from him. How do you feel about that?
Well, look, that guy, yeah, Riley with the Braves, I mean, he had himself quite a weekend and he's been up for three series now with the Braves, and seems to be on a Babe Ruth, Ted Williams pace, but the game will find its holes, and he'll even himself out. It's all and if he doesn't, he'll be an MVP candidate. But he's a great player, obviously one of their top prospects, and I don't know exactly the age, 22, 23, 24, somewhere in there, but big kid, and looks like he's got the hit tool down. So yeah, I think that'd be a good guy, but all it takes is one hard hit and you're back in. So that's baseball for you.
All right, Tony Watson with us, our philosopher. We didn't get to this the last couple of weeks, and that is a little bit more about the traditional closer in baseball and how we're getting away from it. And it leads me into this question about velocity. Is velocity the end-all to being the guy they say you can close?
I don't think so. I think perceived velocity is kind of a deeper... you look at guys, or you talk to hitters, there's guys that are out there throwing 90 miles an hour and the hitter comes back and they're late and they say it feels like it's 100, and then there's guys that are out there throwing 100 and they come back and say they see it great and they're putting good swings on it and it feels like 90. So I think it's all about your mechanics, your deception, where you're locating the ball. You can throw 100 right down the middle right now and guys are going to hit it. It's just how good the hitters are. And velocity's obviously ticked up. I mean, if you look league-wide, everybody's throwing a little bit harder, and I think that's just the technology and people, we're developing pitches now. The spin rate's a big thing. The technology, the cameras that we have are second to none. So, you can really hone in on it, but and dial yourself into the mechanics, and that's not just pitching, that's swings too, and where you're firing in the delivery. Are you firing correctly and get the most out of your body? And but I think velo is not the end all be all. I think there's a lot more that goes into it, and the hitter's swings will tell you what's going on and how a ball's coming out.
Yeah, Tony Watson with us. Yeah, I always say location, location, location. And I want to talk about Riley's home run off you on Thursday, because to me the ball was down. And is this baseball 2019 that you can lift a ball like that? And I know you knew it as soon as he hit it. Your head went down. You knew it was a trouble pitch. But it wasn't that bad. It wasn't served up there.
No, and if you look, we wanted it down. If you look at Buster right before he puts the sign down, he wants it, hey, let's get this down, because and today's where I am with my strengths, I got a good changeup going, and we can follow that sinker down with a changeup. The only problem that I had with the pit, it was down. It was the location, the bottom of the zone was right. the only problem was the direction of the pitch was yanked. It was where he could, if you watch the pitch before, I also was pushing the changeup that inning a little bit. So I got back on top and I threw a cut changeup in there just to get my fingers back on top. And he kind of backed out of the way and it took his eyes down to the inner half. So the sinker, ideally, if it's down and away, it might be a ground ball to shortstop, ground ball to second base. We're out of the inning. We got the lead and Smitty can come in and do his thing. The direction, I yanked it a little bit, and all he had to do was just drop the barrel and drop his hands, and that's where the launch angle comes in. That's where the swings are geared now, and you know, it's baseball. You off by a couple inches, and the ball's gonna go. And but yeah, you just gotta learn from it, and like you said, location.
No, you answered it well, and of course, seeing it happen, I said, "Oh, here we go," because I knew we'd be talking on Friday. So, but whatever, that's part of the game. Will Smith, you mentioned Smitty. Will Smith, come on, 12 strikeouts in a row. I mean, look, you've been around the game for a while. How about that?
It's incredible, and it was the 12 outs, his last 12 outs that he had gotten were 12 in a row, and he knew it too, and he was going for it, and that's what's awesome about it, and he's got that breaking ball going, and the command of the fastball, and some of those swings that those guys are putting on, I mean, those are just goofy swings and ridiculous swings that he's making major league hitters do. So, look, the guy's got incredible stuff. He's done a great job for us in the ninth inning, and he's got a bright future. He's had a great career, and he keeps spinning those curveballs and those breaking balls. I mean, that's what everybody's looking for now, is those breaking balls for strikes and those wipeout breaking balls at the back foot and those swings that he's getting. I mean, that's what you want out of your ninth inning guy.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. I'm sure the Braves took a good look at that, believe me, and he's a free agent, so we'll see what happens with Will Smith. Driving in today, I was listening to MLB Network. They're talking about virtual reality, where the hitters now put on goggles, and they could watch a pitcher. So they'll actually have the feeling of seeing you on the mound, the ball coming at your windup and all that, and it helps them for when they're going to see you. What about for you? Do you ever do that for a hitter, to see what a hitter looks like, or do you think it would be helpful?
So that's an interesting question, because I've actually toyed around with this a little bit. In Pittsburgh, a company was starting up, and I believe Jason Giambi was part of it, where it was the goggles, and Andrew McCutchen would wear them, and guys would wear them right before the game, or an hour before the game, and you could plug in the starter, and then you have the background, and you got the, so here at Oracle you'd have the scoreboard, and you got your hitter's eye, and it's everything to, just like he's on the mound, but you're just sitting at your locker with the virtual reality goggles on, and it's pretty special. You can see what his breaking ball is doing, how it's coming out of the hitter's eye, and where his slot is. And they were in spring training, probably 2015, 2016. They were just starting up, but there's so many of these companies now. But it was one of them, and I thought it would be interesting. You mentioned, watching the hitter. I wanted to see myself. I'm in the box. You never get a chance to face yourself, and you can kind of learn, how the ball gets on you, where your arm slot is, what the hitter's actually seeing. And I thought it was pretty interesting. It was pretty amazing just to see. They didn't have it all dialed into exactly what I was, but it was pretty close. And where your breaking ball's coming out of, and ideally you want your hand, your arm slot in your hand, and you want the ball to come out of the same spot every time. And that's deception, and that's what hitters are swinging at. They only have so long to make up their mind if they're going to swing or not. And so I thought that'd be an interesting way to utilize the tool. And the hitters, you can watch video all the time, the virtual reality stuff, I don't think, but I was thinking flipping it on my own, and maybe I'm in the box facing myself and just kind of see how the ball plays. There might be a spot that I don't think that I'm very good at hitting and don't have a lot of trust in, but when you're up in the box, it might look a little different. So maybe open your eyes to something new and adjust that way.
Well, so try it. I mean, you could start a company. I would say you got the money. Come on, you got the, you want to start a company, or would you try it?
Yeah, definitely. I think those things are going around. Yeah, those things are going around for sure. And we got virtual reality goggles up there, and there's all kinds of games you can play with. The eye test, the reaction game, stuff like that to get your trigger. I mean, the baseball's such quick movements and such the time between pitches. But while the game's actually going on, you only have so long. You got a ground ball, you got to react. Fly ball, you got a first step. I mean, they're measuring everything now with these cameras and the technology. So. any way you can get an edge and get a little bit better in that, I think virtual reality goggles, I think they're definitely going to be a part of it.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. You came up with a really good idea. I'd love to see you try it and just talk to you about what you think, what you look like.
Yeah.
You know, when you're a hitter. All right, Tony Watts, good. See, we came up with something. I like that. Very good. There was a play the other day. We took one of the plays with Samardzija with the double play and the shift happening. Longoria was in the shortstop position. Crawford was behind the bag. My question to you is this. Ground ball back to you. And I, for whatever amateur baseball I always played, I said, if the ball's back to the pitcher, you throw to second, and the guy better be there. So is that the way you were taught to do it?
Yeah, I think that's what everybody says. You throw it to the bag, and if somebody's there, they should be there. And if they're not there, I mean, that's on them. But,
yeah.
You know, it's one of those things with the shifts. You gotta be aware of where everybody is on the field now. I mean, there's people moving, one strike, the bunt, you know, the natural throw for the shortstop, the third baseman's on the right field side of second base, but it's an awkward turn, you know, turn of the double play, so we flipped the shortstop to that side and things like that. But bottom line is that's a reaction play. If it's coming back to you, look, if Jeff lets that go, it's going to be right at, you know, Crawford's going to be standing right there. Yeah. But it's a one-hopper right at him. Your natural reaction is not just going to be to get out of the way. You're going to put your glove up and try to stab that ball and throw it and roll the double play and get the boys back in the dugout. And unfortunately, it didn't work for us there. But, you know, the way the shifts are going and the data and what the numbers say, I mean, more likely than not, you know, the balls are going to be hit to those spots, and we're trying to take away balls on the ground and convert any ball that we can get on the ground. We want to convert it into an out, and that's ideal with the shifts. So unfortunate play there, but yeah, I think to your point, throwing I think even in Little League we were taught, you know, field the ball, throw it to the bag, and somebody will be there.
That's the way it should work. I agree. And it was, because it was a good view for everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, we know what was going through Samardzija's mind. And, you know, who's got it?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff. All right, Tony Watson with us. The draft is coming up. You guys will be on the road. You'll be heading to New York, I think, on that Monday, or you'll be in New York June 3rd. I don't think I've ever asked you, draft day, what was draft day like for you?
So draft day, it's always exciting. I got a chance. I was fortunate enough to be drafted 3 times. I got drafted out of high school by the Marlins. So that was exciting. I knew I wasn't going to be a high pick. I was a 23rd rounder, but still to hear your name called, it was a different time back then. And the scout calls you and says, we selected you. I mean, it's a dream come true. It's like you got a shot to play professional baseball. It's what you did your whole life, and you played Little League, and you did all the travel ball teams, and your parents took you everywhere, and then you get a chance to have your name called in the Major League Draft. It was a really special moment. And then I got drafted out of Nebraska twice. I got drafted the first year as a redshirt junior by the Orioles. You know, had a feeling that I was going to get picked, but wasn't really sure where because of I was a redshirt sophomore, I'm sorry. So I had eligibility coming back, a little bit of leverage, and wasn't sure. The scouts kind of were, you know, weren't sure where I was going to go just because of signability and all that stuff that goes into it. But, I actually went golfing with my buddies. We were in regionals, you know, college, they're doing regionals, super regionals, then the World Series. And we were in regionals and just finished or something, maybe a big 12 tournament somewhere in there. But, you know, our coach recommended, hey, he called us all in, but he said, you know, don't sit around and listen and wait. Just go out and do something and take your mind off it. And I think that's the best way. Because if it's going to happen, it's going to happen, and you're going to get a call, and they're going to get a way to get a hold of you and let you know. But still, every time that call came, it was, you know, you see the area code and where it's from, and you're like, this could be it. And it was pretty special. It's a really special moment. And, you know, then the Pirates drafted me in 2007, and my roommate actually got drafted by the Pirates that year too, so that was a special day. And his name was Matt Faust. He got drafted around 2 rounds before me, actually, so he's got bragging rights on me. But it was great to be able to go down to Florida with him and start our careers together, and you know, just a special memory.
Yeah, you know, it's always a story, these things. You know, he has bragging rights on you, but you're here.
That's
sitting
right
in the major league. It's the old Kirk Gibson story with Eckersley. You know, Kirk Gibson hits the home run off Eckersley, and he was stand-up. You know, I mean, what happened? He was at the locker. And, of course, they bring it up every year. Gibson hit the home run? And he says, yeah, Gibson hit the home run, but I'm in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, that's
the deal.
That's bragging rights for sure, I would say. You know, there's not very many guys in that Hall of Fame, so that's an elite company, but that's a great story. That is an outstanding story, but outstanding home run, too.
All right, Tony Watson with us as we talk a little bit of baseball here. A couple of things we'll sort of segue into some things here. On Sunday, we've got Sean Anderson, University of Florida, Luke Weaver, Florida State, going against each other. And I don't care what they say. There's something Florida State and Florida. I lived it. I was at the University of Florida. But I thought of you and thought, well, you know, you, of course, you're a reliever. But there has to be that one moment when you're facing somebody from your past, from Nebraska versus so-and-so or something, that you say, okay, the heart beats a little faster.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it's funny. We have some Creighton guys here. I mean, they're not here now with in the clubhouse, but Mike Gerber, Ty Block, Pat Vendetti. He was at Creighton with me. That was kind of a rivalry. We'd play on midweek. They weren't in our conference, but seeing them, you know, as early in my career, there was more guys. Drew Stubbs comes to mind. Drew was here for a little bit, I think, in the outfield. Great player. He was a Texas guy, and Texas and Nebraska always had good matchups in baseball. And we had, both of us had great teams. We went to the World Series a couple times. And so, yeah, facing him the first time in the major leagues, it was almost like I don't want to say it was like I knew him, but you know, it was like familiar. It was an interesting. It was kind of cool. But the Big 12 had great baseball, and we played great teams, and there were guys all over. You know, it's all over the league that you face and you might see, and you know, guys change their swing and stuff. But for the most part, they're pretty much the same guys, and they've got a little bit better, but. You know, it's the major leagues, and it's really cool to see everybody, you know, kind of grow and have success at this level and chase their dreams and do it.
Well, it's great. It's a job, too, and, like, you're doing a job. You know, people always have to remember that. You know, we come out, we have a job to do, of course, in this, but fans come out, and they're being entertained. But you're actually working. This is your job.
Yeah, it is. It is. But we have to have fun. I mean, I think, what was it? Willie Stargell used to say, they say play ball, not work ball. So, you know, it's you got to go out and it's a game and it's fun. But, yeah, we are entertaining and we got to go out and, you know, do your job. And you've got a role and you got to go out and whatever coach gives you the ball to do that night, or you might come up and pitch it. You got a job to do, and you might only have one pitch. And you got to make sure you execute and get it done. And if you don't, you got to go figure out what you did wrong and get it done the next day.
Yeah, you don't want to get a new job.
Yeah, that's right.
Say this is your job. You want to do it right. Hey, it made me think of this. I'm thinking of a lot of things as you and I talk. I really enjoy these conversations with Tony Watson. On TV during the week at the Milwaukee Bucks Toronto Raptors game, they showed a couple of guys chugging beers. Yelich and Andre, Rogers. Aaron Rodgers chugged about halfway, and then he quit. But Yelich just knocked it down, and a couple of the linemen knocked it down. I thought it was amazing. I thought it was cool. What do you think?
I didn't think that was cool. I think the lineman was David Bakhtiari. I mean, obviously, those big guys can put him down. But, you know, I was the Rodgers one, I was a little miffed at. I thought he would go for it and try to just chug it. Maybe it goes all over his chest, and, you know, maybe the people like that. But obviously, he didn't want to go for it and get the beer down, but you know, fans love that stuff, and it's great to see that the teams are supporting each other, and I think each city does a good job of that. You know, you'll see here at the game, you'll see the Sharks highlights, and you see fans going nuts. You see the Warriors highlights, you hear fans going nuts. It's really special to have teams have success in the same city you're in, and guys pulling for each other and supporting each other, and you know, those videos are great. I mean, those Yelich put the beer down, I mean, I'm sure he's hearing about that in the clubhouse today, but it was pretty cool to see.
Can we match you up with Yelich? Can you knock one down like that?
You know, I wouldn't be afraid to try. You know, I'd definitely try to go for it, and you know, because that just means the next one's going to be colder. So, you know, nobody's counting, but, you know, a nice cold beer sometimes is good.
All right. I like it. It was a good part of sports during the week. Another lighthearted question, and we'll jump with this one because we've got many weeks more to go. But I was thinking about this. Give you three teammates' names. You got to know these guys pretty well. If they weren't baseball players, what would they be? And I'm going to start with Brandon Crawford.
That one's a tough one. Crawford's a tough one. He's a smart guy, UCLA guy. So, you know, but I feel like, you know, you see the pictures. Crawford's always been into baseball. He's, you know, he's a little kid. He's at the Giants games and, you know, coming to these games his whole life. So I feel like he'd be in the games doing something. You know, it might not be in uniform, but, you know, he'd stay in the game. I can't really put a pulse on what exactly he would be doing, but because he's such a good shortstop, first of all. I mean, so that's kind of his identity. And but, yeah, that'd be a tough one. He'd have a nice background. He's got the network at UCLA to work with, so he'd have a nice job somewhere in the Bay Area, I'm sure, because this is where he's from. And, you know, maybe he'd be doing business deals out on the golf course somewhere.
Well, I'm going to make him the ticket manager.
Oh, okay.
How about that? Or the marketing manager.
Yeah, there you go. I mean,
like that.
You think he'd still have his long hair, though? I mean,
yeah.
that would be his.
Cool.
Yeah. It's okay. I'd go with that. Yeah. That's a good one.
All right. All right. How about Sam Dyson? If he wasn't in baseball, what would he be? Where would he be? Would I be defending him?
That's a good point. I hope you wouldn't be defending him. But Sam would have about a 50-foot boat, you know, four engines on the back down in Florida, and he'd be offshore fishing for sure.
Right.
You know, he'd have he'd have his shirt off most of the day, and he'd be going out fishing early and at night, and he'd be you know, he might be doing that in the off season anyway, but he'd have his cat with him for sure still. Snuckles would be riding along. But he'd be down in Florida and he'd be fishing for sure.
All right, that's a good one. I could see him having a boat and he'd be the captain. All right, last one. Pablo Sandoval. How about him? Not in baseball. What would he be?
Well, Pablo's just, he's a character. You know, he's an entertainer. So I feel like Pablo could get into some form of entertainment. And he would have a lot of success. He's always got the great smile going. He's got a great personality. And it might not be in baseball, but, you know, he might do something. I don't want to say he's going to be an actor or anything, but he could do something on the entertainment side and have a lot of success, I feel like, just because of who he is and what he's about. And he's positive energy all day. You know, he's the same guy every day in the clubhouse. He got that infectious smile and attitude. So, yeah, I could see him being in some form of entertainment. TV, maybe a TV personality or something like that.
All right, game show host,
there
possibly.
Go.
All right.
Go.
I got him as a maitre d' in a restaurant in Las Vegas with his name on it.
There you go. What, so Sandoval's or Pablo's?
Pablo's.
I like that.
Yeah.
In Vegas, though?
Yep.
I could see him doing it in Vegas. Maybe he opens up another one in Miami or something, and he's got the Latin flair going, and, yeah, I think that'd be good.
Yeah.
Tuxedo, right. Come and eat at Pablo's. He's there greeting you with the menu and the whole thing, and he makes you feel good.
Yeah, and I'm sure he'd have all his cars parked out front, and they'd be looking real nice, too.
All right, I like it. All right, you can give me one question if you want, if you come up with something.
Yeah, so Mark Melanson and I were talking about this because his brother-in-law, J.B. Shuck, with the Pirates, is they're wanting to make him a pitcher.
Okay.
And this whole two-way, have you seen the two-way rules?
Yeah.
This starting in 2020. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. Do you know the background on the two-way rules? And, you know, they have to – it's basically the pitchers, they can essentially be a 26th man on that roster. But they have to accrue 20 innings of major league pitching or 20 games of a position in the field with three at-bats in those games. And then – what is it? So, like, when Pablo, they'll let Pablo pitch is a perfect segue.
Yeah.
Pablo pitches in a game that's a 10-run game or something in the ninth inning. Well, that it's got to be a 6-run lead or more for a position player to pitch. And there's a couple other rules in there, too. But I just, what are your thoughts on that, the whole position player pitching, adding a two-way player? I know the Reds are trying it with Lorenzen here, trying to sneak him in the outfield, but you gotta qualify, and once you qualify, you're in there for a year. What are you in on the qualification thing, or you just think they should let it be?
Let it be. Okay. I grew up with it. Willie Smith played for the Angels and the Tigers. He was a pitcher and an outfielder. Hal Jeffcoat, his son, eventually went to the big leagues with Texas. I remember him. Kieschnick, I remember him doing it. Who cares? Come on. You're playing baseball. If you want to put the guy in the pitch, let him pitch. It's 162 games. Why restrict anybody on anything?
I'm with you on that. It seems like it's almost, you know, we were looking it over, and it's almost like the rules are, they're trying to twist it a little bit, but, and I understand both sides, I guess, but, you know, a lot of things are changing, but, you know, let this one be. I mean, sometimes the bullpens are gassed, and you just got to do what you got to do to get through a night.
Absolutely.
You know, the manager's got to figure out a way to maneuver through nine innings, and, you know, what if, you know, it's a five-run lead in the ninth inning, and you're running out of arms down there, and you got a position player that you think can. Pablo's been great for us. You know, two clean innings. You know, we got to roll the double play ball. I think he struck a guy out for the Dodgers last year. So if you got a guy that you got confidence in and you think he can go out there and keep the lead right where it's at, I mean, you know.
Play the game.
Obviously.
Play the game.
Obviously, you're not going to be out there with the lead. But play the game. And let it be, I think.
That's it. All right. Great discussion. We got more coming up. I have a bunch of more questions for you. But this is great. I appreciate talking ball with Tony Watson. Tony, thanks so much.
All right. Thanks for having me, Marty. Appreciate it.
More coming up. KNBR 680, Sports Leader. That was great.